WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 23rd of May. I'm going to jump right in with the show. The original air date for this is the 2nd of March, 1946. This is the first half of our double bill. I just, in my notes here, I just kind of said it's the Hal double billing. I hope you enjoy it.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in the thrilling adventure, A Question of Time. The Green Hornet strikes again. Came down unceasingly, and to add to the eerie darkness of the night along the waterfront, a heavy mist had risen, and it swirled and eddied about the long black car, which, moving like a sinister shadow, finally came to a stop alongside a deserted waterfront building. A tall tall, shadowy figure stepped from the car. It was the dreaded figure of the Green Hornet, who stood listening intently for a moment, then spoke.
Come on, Kato. We'll take a chance.
You think they set trap for Hornet, perhaps, Mr. Britt?
It could be. That's why we came here half hour ahead of time.
Will Black Beauty be safe here in a secluded place?
Yes. Leave the car door open for a quick getaway. Come on. We'll go to the end of the dock. It isn't very far.
What do we find there?
We're supposed to find a motor launch there. The time was set at 9 o'clock. I'm hoping it'll be there ahead of time.
The police sure to come soon, Mr. Britt.
Yes. That's why we came early. It's hard to see anything. I think I see the outline of a small boat now.
Oh, I see something. It could be the boat we can... Shot come from boat at end of dock, perhaps.
Yes.
Come on. Boat leaving.
Yes. We're a little too late.
No use for us to... Oh, look, Mr. Britt. Outline of launch still there.
Yes. That was another boat leaving. Come on. Here we are.
We go on board?
Yes, follow me. Use your flash, Kato.
Yes, sir.
We'll look in the cabin. Come on.
Be careful. It's dark down in there. Maybe someone waiting there.
I'll risk it. Flash your light around.
There not seem to be anyone... Man, lie on bunk.
Don't move, you. Bring that light here.
Man, look like he...
He's dead. Shot through the head. Let's see. Great Scott! This is Stuart Ludlow, the man who was...
Boat coming, Mr. Britt.
I hear it. Maybe the killers are returning.
A police boat.
Let's get out of here fast. Fog's lifted a bit.
Police cars come, too.
Douse that light, quick.
We'd be trapped. What we do?
It's a short distance back along this dock. We've got to get back off it before they reach it. Come on. Now, run for it. We've got to make it.
They see us in a moment.
Head for the Black Beauty. Here's the light, Beauty. I'll drive.
Hurry. They're coming. We have very narrow escape, Mr. Britt.
You can say that again, Kato.
And now Green Hornet be blamed for murder of man on launch.
That's right, he will.
We leave in such hurry after you come from office tonight, you not tell me why we go to dock. Well, how you know launch be there?
Of course you read in the Sentinel about Stuart Ludlow, the man we found murdered on the launch.
Oh, yes, sir. It say he was assistant to Professor Santos, a scientist from South American country who come here during the war to do secret work for government. Ludlow reported missing since last night. Also, certain secret formula missing.
Right. Professor Santos gave out the report, and he suspected Ludlow of stealing the paper. Early this afternoon, I was in the city room at the Daily Sentinel, discussing the case with Gunnigan.
Well, I guess that guy Ludlow beat it off with those secret papers, all right, Chief. Goes to show you don't know who to trust.
Well, could be, Gunnigan. Yet it's hard to believe Stuart Ludlow would do a thing like that. He received a citation for his brilliant work in scientific research during the war.
Yeah, but according to Santos, they'd hit on something big. Ludlow probably thought he could sell it to spies or something.
Maybe, but I still...
Hey, hiya, Gunnigan. When do you hear the news I got this time?
Did they find Ludlow?
No, but I got...
Maybe the secret formula thing turned up.
No,
right?
Kidding, but I got...
Oh, well, then, man alive, Mike, don't stand there quibbling. If you really got some news, let's have
something
it.
Something says, Gunnigan, will you give me a chance to stop popping off before I get two words out of me mouth?
Calm down, both of you. What have you found out, actually?
Where did he hear, Reed? I was at cop's headquarters a while ago when they got a printed note having to do with the Ludlow case.
A printed note?
Yeah.
What did it say? Did you get a copy? Was it from
Keep
the right...
Keep your short on, Gunnigan, will you? Of course I got a copy. Took it down word for word. Listen to this.
Well, hurry up, read it.
It says... Ludlow stole the formula and is selling it for big money. You can catch him red-handed when he turns it over to the Green Hornet tonight in a motor launch at 3rd Street Dock at 9 tonight. Huh. Then he'll use the launch for his getaway. Signed, one who was double-crossed. What do you think of that now?
Jumping catfish. It's
So the harness mixed up in this.
At least that's what the note says. Are the police planning to close in on the Maxford?
Sure. And believe you me, I'm going to be right with them. Sarge wants this kept off the record, Reed, so as not to tip off Ludlow and the Hornet.
What? You mean that we have
to... Sergeant Burke is right, Gunnigan. We can't print that news about the note until after they have a chance to act.
Oh, I suppose not. Have they notified the professor about it?
Nope. Nobody knows but the cops and us. So keep it under your hat.
We'll keep it quiet, expert. After the police go to the doctor tonight, phone me about what happened. I'll be anxious to know. Reason I came home and then went to the dock as the Green Hornet, Cato. You know the result.
It looked like someone definitely planned to kill Ludlow on launch, so police find body and blame Hornet.
Right. That someone very cleverly planned to make it look as though the Hornet murdered Ludlow and took the formula. And so far, he got away with it.
It's not good.
That's true. But the Green Hornet won't take it sitting down, Cato. I won't rest until I found that killer, no matter what it takes to do it.
Murdered by Green Hornet, police find body.
Hey, yeah, lady.
Hornet escapes with secret papers.
Hey, yeah, sir.
Read all about it. Set the Lexi paper.
It was almost noon of the following day when Mike Axford entered Britt Reed's outer office, where Lenore Case, secretary to the young publisher, was busy at her desk.
Hey, Cassie. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning, Axford. Or should I say good afternoon, perhaps?
Oh, one or the other. It's all the same to me.
That's right. Evidently, time means nothing to you, the way you come strolling in when you feel like it.
Huh. Is that so now? I'll have you know I put in a full day's work this morning, that I have.
Doing what, for instance? Dunking donuts in your coffee?
Look, if I want a dunk, I'll dunk, and it'll still be none of your business, as I... But if you must know, I've been over to Professor Santo's place with Sarge and a couple of the boys.
Oh. Well, maybe I was hasty in what I said.
Ashford, I've been waiting for you.
Oh, hello, Reed. I was just about to go into
your... I know. You were just about to come into my office. Well, Gunnigan said you went over to Professor Santo's place this morning.
That I did, Reed. You see, it is known that the professor owns a cabin cruiser. Sarge thought maybe Ludlow used it to meet the harness at the dock last night. But Santo's boat was still in the boathouse.
I see. Then they still don't know who owned the launch in which Ludlow was killed.
Nope, they're still checking. No doubt it was stolen from someone who reported missing before long.
Maybe. So Santos owns a cabin cruiser, eh?
That he does. But he hasn't had it out of the boathouse in over a month. And he's the only one who has a key to get into it. He says he hasn't even been inside the boathouse.
Did you see his cruiser, Axford?
Sure. We all went to the boathouse. Sarge wanted to check, you know. Tis a fine cruiser Santos has there.
Did Sergeant Burke do any checking at all to make sure the cruiser hadn't been used last night?
Oh, sure. Of course, he wouldn't question Santo's word. But then he did find that the gas tank was empty, and the back deck was covered over with the canvas and things stored away, so it was easy to see it wasn't used.
I see.
Well, what's the cruiser like, Axford?
Oh, it has a sort of deck business behind, and then a glassed-in cabin in the middle. Then off that, at the front, through a little door, there's a couple of bunks for sleeping. All as cozy as can be.
Gunnigan told me you went over there at 9 o'clock this morning. Where were you all morning? It's noon now.
Well, see, Reed, it was like this. I got left behind on the cruiser, that is.
Left behind? Well, how did that happen?
Yes, what do you mean?
To tell the truth, Reed, I snooped into that little bedroom where their bunks were. Well, just to see how comfortable they were, mind you, I sort of laid down on one of them while Sarge and the others were talking outside.
Oh, Michael Axford, don't tell us you went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Oh, I might have known.
You mean the others went off and left you there asleep?
That they did, Reed. Sure, and I got the start of my life when I woke up and got a look at the little clock in the wall up over the bunk. It pointed to 11 o'clock.
Well, Axford, what did you do?
And I got off the boat and pounded on the door of the boathouse till the professor heard me and came down and let me out. Guess he thought I was a dope. He didn't seem to like it a bit. And I got me jalopy and highballed it over here.
Well, it's funny Sergeant Burke didn't miss you.
Oh, he knew I had me own car there, so he probably didn't give it a thought.
Anyway, we didn't find out anything.
I suppose for a moment you thought that clock on the cruiser was wrong when you looked at it, eh, Axford?
You said it, Reed. But I checked with my own watch and found it was right after all. So I sure lost no time getting out of there.
Oh, Axford. You know, that's about the dumbest thing you've ever done. Lying down and going to sleep while you're out investigating.
Okay, okay. Go ahead and laugh, because I got it coming. You know, Reed, it's an open and shut case against the Green Hornet. We know he double-crossed Ludlow by murdering him and making off with the secret paper. Sure, and this is one time the cops are up against a killer who's too smart to be caught.
Well, you never can tell, Axford. Sometimes the smartest of killers can overlook some little detail that will open the way to his capture. Something tells me Ludlow's murderer will be caught sooner than he or anyone else expects.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment. After hearing Axford's story of his visit to Professor Santos' cruiser, Britt Reed did some serious thinking. At dusk, he left the Sentinel building and went to his apartment, where Cato, his Filipino valet, was preparing dinner. Britt immediately put through a phone call to Professor Santos.
Is this Professor Santos speaking? I'm Britt Reed, publisher of the Daily Sentinel.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Reed. What can I do for you?
Well, I called to ask if you've heard anything about part of a message scratched on the wall panel of the launch by your assistant Ludlow just before he died. It might have been done by a pin or something like that, in an effort to tell just who it was that killed him.
Just a moment, Mr. Reed. You say poor Ludlow lived long enough to scratch some sort of marking inside the launch?
Well, now, perhaps I shouldn't have brought it up. Naturally, I thought if he had done something like that, the police would have told you. But then I guess they would keep it quiet about any clues they might have found.
Yes, yes, of course. Have you any idea just what might have been scratched on that wall panel by Ludlow?
No. As I said before, if they found any such markings, the police have kept it more or less a secret. Of course, being in the newspaper business, we hear a lot of things that aren't actually...
I understand. But after all, the police don't need clues. The Hornet killed Ludlow.
Well, that seems to be the consensus of opinion, Professor Santos. I thought I'd check with you anyway on the rumor I've heard.
I'm sorry, Mr. Reed, but I've heard nothing about it.
I see. Well, thank you. If I get any definite information about it, I'll call you again.
I wish you would, Mr. Reed. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Professor. Cato.
Yes, sir?
Come here, will you?
Right away, Mr. Brent.
Hurry. Forget about dinner. We have a job to do.
What are we going to do?
The launch on which Ludlow was murdered is still moored at the 3rd Street dock. Since the police are convinced the Hornet killed him, they've left it unguarded.
Well, what about launch? You hope to find a clue, perhaps?
No, Cato, not exactly. But I do hope to leave something which someone else might mistake for a clue. We'll go down there right now.
You go out as Green Hornet?
Yes. Let's go. Seems to be deserted, Cato.
You certain police not leave guard?
Well, that's what Axford said. There's really no reason why they should. Wait here. I won't be long.
Moving quickly through the darkness, the Green Hornet made his way along the dock, and after pausing to make certain he wasn't observed, he leaped lightly to the after deck of the murder launch.
So far, so good.
Quickly, the shadowy figure went into the boat's cabin. A short time later, he emerged, and in a few minutes, reached the side of the Black Beauty.
Now, Cato, we'll do a bit of watchful waiting.
Well, what do we wait for, Mr. Britt?
I'm not positive, Cato, but I think that launch will have another visitor tonight.
We wait more than half hour now, Mr. Britt. But no one come.
I know I'm on the right track, Cato. We'll just have to be patient and wait a little longer.
You expect a certain man to come to launch?
No. But I do think someone will show up sooner or later.
I hear a car coming.
Yes, I see it. It's going right to the edge of the dock. That's the one we're waiting for, Cato.
Oh, big man get out of car. He go toward launch.
Yes.
The moonlight shows him up pretty well. It isn't a figure of anyone I've seen before.
What we do now?
Wait right here until he starts away in the car. Then we'll follow.
Where do you think he'll lead us?
To the man responsible for Ludlow's murder.
Look, the man stay on launch only for a minute. He's coming back to car now.
Yes, but he was there long enough for the purpose. He's getting into the car. This is it, Cato. All right, get started, Cato. Follow that car.
Well, Carl, come in. Go into the study.
Professor, the game is up. You'll have to clear out with me.
What? Then there was something on the cabin panel, eh?
Yes, he must have scratched it with a pin. Letters spelling your name, Professor. S-A-N-T-O-S.
Oh, that is your fault. I told you to be sure he was dead.
But I could have sworn he was dead, Professor. I told you so when I got back into your cruiser to get away.
Carl, it's strange that if the authorities saw that marking on the panel last night, they haven't come here to question me.
That's the way the American authorities work. They let you think you're not suspected till they put all the facts together. Then they walk in, take you away. Where did you hide the paper containing the formula?
In a slit in the mattress on one of the bunks in my cruiser. Carl, we have to make plans for leaving here. What's the matter?
Quiet. Thought I saw someone outside that window. Let's open a little. They heard anything?
See anyone, Carl?
No. I guess I'm a little jumpy. There's only one thing to do, Professor.
What is that?
You take your cruiser and go down the bay. The ship I'm to sail on tomorrow night is anchored down there. Can be arranged for both of us to go to board tonight.
Yes, we'll do that. If we wait longer, they may put someone out here to watch.
We must not be caught, Professor. We'll both hang for murder if we are.
You were the one who killed Ludlow.
But you planned the whole thing. And you piloted the boat that took me there.
All right, all right. I'll pack a few things and then we'll leave in my cruiser. Once we're on that ship, we'll be safe.
Meantime, Cato joined Britt Reed, who stood waiting near the door to the boathouse.
Did you phone the police as I told you to, Cato?
Yes, sir. I tell them murderer of Ludlow go out in Professor's cruiser tonight. Well, they think I'm in Green Hornet, perhaps.
Yes. Well, I'll use a skeleton key on this door and we'll board the cruiser. I overheard enough to know the missing formula's there. I'm certain they'll try to use the cruiser for a getaway.
You keep them from taking boat out?
No. I want them to get out on the water. There'll be less chance of one of them escaping. Come on.
A short time later, Professor Santos and Carl entered the boathouse and boarded the cabin cruiser. And within a few minutes, the boat was backed out into clear water.
That's far enough, Professor. Now swing it around and head down the river towards the bay. Stay close to the shoreline.
All right, Carl. The job has been botched, Carl. I hope to continue on here in this country with further scientific research.
Best to get out while you can, Professor. They would have caught up with you sooner or later. And think of all the money you get for turning that formula over to us. Listen, Professor.
I hear it. Must be police boats.
You see, they did suspect you.
Don't worry, Carl. I have special auxiliary motor in this cruiser. We can lose them readily.
Switch over to it then. I'll get the machine gun from the toolbox there.
Get the machine gun. Get away from that toolbox. Hey, what the...
Look, Carl, in the cabin doorway.
Green Hornet. Right, colors.
Well, I'll show you.
Look, conditions for a good shot, Joe. I'll settle you.
I don't dare leave the wheel, Carl. Don't let him.
Don't let me what? Do this?
No.
Stay away from me.
We'll all get caught.
Come here, you.
Oh, I take wheel.
You, Professor, can take this.
No, I... Gas, I can't breathe.
Shut off the motor, Cato.
Leave this paper, the formula, pinned to the professor with a note, man.
Police boat coming fast.
Yes, the shore's close by. We'll have to swim for it, Cato. On the board the cruiser and fly these two, a little grilling will make them squeal. Let's go.
Later, in Britt Reed's apartment, he and Cato, in dry clothes, were discussing the events of the evening.
What you do at dock tonight, Mr. Britt?
I scratched Santo's name on the wall of the cabin on the launch. I told you about my phone call to the professor just before we went to the dock.
Oh, yes. Then what you tell him over phone, make him send to see if Ludlow really leave clue.
That's it, Cato. And then we...
Reed! Have we got news this night?
Axford and Sergeant Burke.
Axford asked me to run him home in a squad car. His jalopy busted down.
Well, glad you came in. And what's the big news?
Reed, what do you think? The cops got a tip off that the murder of Ludlow was going to go out in Santo's cabin cruiser.
Really? The Green Hornet, you mean?
No, it wasn't the Hornet, Mr. Reed, though we thought that's who we'd find. It was Professor Santo's himself with a Nazi underground spy.
What?
That's right. Santo's came too. He'd been gassed by the Hornets, you see, and before the other guy could talk, Santo's had spilled the whole works. And we found the secret papers, too.
But why he tried to steal his own formula?
Cato, he was going to get a big dough from some Nazis in South America for that formula. He couldn't sell it openly, so he had Ludlow murdered, then accused him of stealing the papers. We got the whole story.
But Oxford says something about the Green Hornet. Was he on the cruiser?
No, not when we got aboard. But stuck right on the clock in the bunk room was a Hornet seal. On the clock, mind you.
Yeah. Believe me, that professor was a smart one. Sending that fake note to headquarters saying the Hornet was going to meet Ludlow at the 3rd Street dock. In that way, he had us thinking the Hornet killed Ludlow.
Oh, well, the Hornet was mixed up with him. Well, just a question of time as to when he'd pull a double cross.
Sure. And it's only a question of time before that spalpeen makes a slip and gets himself caught. To my way of thinking, he's too smart for his own good.
Huh. You can say that again, Sarge. But stop at the words too smart. That's what I think of the Hornets.
Well, have it your way. I got to get back to headquarters. See you again, Mr. Reed.
Wait, I'm coming with you. So long, Reed.
Goodbye.
Mr. Britt, I not understand how you're so positive Professor Santos involved in case.
When Axford told me about going to Santos, he gave me a clue, Cato.
What'd he tell you?
Axford fell asleep on the cabin cruiser in Santos' boathouse. He said when he awoke, he noticed the time on a clock near the bunk. The time indicated by his own watch was just about the same.
But how'll that tell you anything?
Cato, they don't have electric clocks on motorboats. Santos swore to the police that he hadn't been near his boathouse in a month, and therefore hadn't used his cabin cruiser. Yet that clock was running and keeping time.
Oh, so that is...
Right. Somebody had wound that clock. So I knew Santos had been lying since he had the only key to the boathouse. He had used his cabin cruiser only the night before. And as Axford so aptly put it, the solution of the case really was just a question of time.
Popular radio dramas created by George W. Trendle are a copyrighted feature of The Green Hornet, Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Morning. That was A Question of Time. There was a Green Hornet. Again, the original air date was the 2nd of March, 1946. That would have been the 10th season of the Green Hornet. Post-World War II, because you have Nazi spies mixed up in this one. An interesting note, they mentioned Kato is a Filipino. He originally was Japanese, but because of the war with Japan, they kind of changed his nationality. I apologize to the fans that are shadow aficionados, because I said I'd play one, but I'd opt to go back with a Green Hornet. However, coming up next will be a favorite here on the Grand Hour. This is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
13th of December, 1953 is the original air date for this episode.
Of thy sin, Desdemona, for indeed thou art to die.
Milord Othello, have mercy on me.
I say amen.
And you, mercy too. I never did offend you in my life.
Oh, perjured woman. Oh.
Nay, I speak the truth. I never did offend.
You're offending us, lady. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, who is this guy Shakespeare anyway?
Oh, banish me, my lord, but kill me not.
Down, trumpet.
Kill me tomorrow, but let me live tonight.
Beat back, kill her tonight.
Yeah, let's get it over with.
Hey, nay. Milady, if you strive...
But half an hour!
Holy mackerel, not another half hour then!
Go on, Othello, put her out of her misery!
Well, how about our misery?
Ladies and gentlemen! Ladies and gentlemen!
He certainly don't mean us!
Ladies and gentlemen! It appears that our Thespian efforts do not meet with your approval.
Appears?
My company and I have played before all the crowned heads of Europe. We thought the enlightened community of Virtue City would welcome an opportunity to witness the works of the immortal bard as performed by Madame de la Seine, the distinguished French actress, and by your humble servant. We were mistaken. To err is human, to forgive divine. I forgive you. The performance is concluded. Good night.
Hey, now, just a minute. You mean you ain't going on to the end of this thing?
You have understood me correctly, sir.
What's Shakespeare gonna think?
Yeah, what about the money we paid? Do we get it back?
What about...
Silence! Silence, please! My company has more than earned a meager pittance.
You ain't earned nothing until the show's over.
That's right. Either you finish up your acting up there, you give us our dough. That's right.
This ultimatum is outrageous. I reject it flatly.
Just you stay up there on that stage, mister. I said...
Please, sir, please, there are ladies present. Someone might be injured.
You going on with the show, ain't you? Well...
The performance will continue.
Yeah.
But under protest, sir. Under severe protest.
I hadn't been back to Virtue City since the second silver strike. The first mine's played out, 10, 15 years ago, and the town has been crumbling away like a stale loaf of bread. But the new strike last spring, for the looks of things, is even bigger than the first one. The old stores all opened up again, and half a dozen new ones been built. The new railroad accounted for some of the prosperity. Anyway, that's why I'd come to town. I was supposed to meet the train from Chicago and pick up some spare parts for the pump at the Round Y Ranch where I was working. The train wasn't due until the next day, so I headed over to the hotel to see about getting a room. The clerk was sitting behind the registration counter looking through some kind of a contraption. I didn't know what it was. Sure had never seen a gadget like that before.
Sorry, mister. Didn't know you was there.
Well, I'd like to...
Just got me a new set of pictures. I was sort of anxious to try them out, you know?
Oh, pictures?
My stereoscope.
Oh.
You seen a stereoscope before, ain't you, mister?
No, can't say as I have.
Why, it's the newest thing. All the folks back east have got them. Here, just let me show you, huh? Now, you wait a minute. Just wait till I find Niagara Falls. Yeah, here it is. Now, you just look through the front end there, huh? That's right. Well,
I'll be doggone. Why, it just looks like that water come right at you, doesn't it? Why, you'd think it was real. You'd think you were right there.
Here, just let me show you another one, huh? Now, let me see. Oh, yeah, pyramids. I'm the only fella in town got the pyramids.
Pyramids?
Yeah, they're in Egypt, you know. There. Now, how's that?
Why, just look at... Oh, I can't believe it. Well, that fella's standing out in front of the pyramids. It's just like you could touch him. You could just reach out and touch him. I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, you just wait till I find that redskin to shoot an arrow. Got the way he's aiming it. Well, if you didn't know it was a picture, you'd swear you were looking...
Key, if you please.
Oh, sure, Mr. Plunkett, sure.
And you may as well have my bill ready. We'll be checking out this afternoon.
Oh, thought you were supposed to give another show tonight.
The performance has been canceled.
Hey, Arch.
Hey, beg your pardon, sir?
Arch, well, don't you remember me?
You seem to have the advantage, sir. I don't believe that... Britt Ponsett!
Well, what the thunder are you doing in Virtue City, Arch? Why, I haven't seen you since...
Since our triumphal tour of Texas, wasn't it, Britt?
Why?
When we were the honored guests of the governor, my company and I. You remember he insisted that we stay at the executive mansion?
Now, Arch...
I shall never forget the warmth of our reception there. The people of Texas have a true appreciation of the art of the drama, unlike some of our more recent audiences.
Audiences?
Well, come along, old boy. Come along. You must join us for a spot of tea. Marguerite would be so delighted to see you again.
Marguerite? Who's she?
My lovely wife.
Oh.
Don't tell me you've forgotten her.
I thought her name
We've taken the presidential suite, of course. If you'll just follow me.
Well, now, hold on, Arch. I've got to see about a room for myself.
Oh, nonsense. The clerk will take care of these trivial details. This way, dear boy. This way. Ah, here we are, my dear Britt. Enter.
Hey, what the Sam Hills happened to you, Arch? What happened to your voice?
All in good time, my good man, all in good time. Marguerite?
That's you, Arch?
Yes, my dear. I've brought someone with me.
I have been taking a little nap to snooze the nerves. What breath? Why, you son of a gun, where did you come from?
Oh, Maggie, how are you?
He was downstairs in the lobby, Mag. I had to get him up here fast before he spilled the beans.
Oh, that's right. You don't know we're in the profession, do you, Brett?
The what?
Show business, Brett. Show business. Maggie and I are actors now. We got our own company.
No.
Permit me to introduce myself. Archibald Plunkett, late of London, Paris, New York, and, for an unpleasant moment, Virtue City.
Plunkett, eh?
Couldn't keep on calling myself Archie Plunkett. Once I gave up the dry goods emporium and started acting.
Oh, I see.
And this charming lady is my wife, the toast of the continent, Marguerite Delassane.
What do you mean you changed your name too, Maggie?
Oh, just fancied it up a speck. I used to be Maggie Rivers before I married Arch. Well, we looked on a map. There's a French river called the Seine, so...
Mm-hmm. That just don't seem fair somehow.
What do you mean, Brent?
Well, your folks give you a hand. All seems like you ought to stick with it.
Oh, not when you're in the profession.
Is that so?
Sure. Most actors have to change their name.
They do?
Yeah, lots of them.
Well, I guess if it's customary, Gee whiz, you're actors now, huh?
Well, Arch wasn't much good at business, Britt, you know that. He always hated to stay in one place. And then when the drought hit, well, we were cleaned out.
Yeah, it was right about then Doc Ryder comes through with his medicine show. Remember the Doc, Britt?
Oh, yeah, sure.
His guitar player left him flat. Run off with that girl he used to do the singing, the one with the yellow tights.
Yellow tights? I don't think... Oh, yeah.
So the doc needed somebody to take their place, and, well, Maggie always had a real sweet singing voice, and seeing as how we were broke anyhow...
Doggone tights never did fit me.
Well, you're not still with the medicine show, are you?
Oh, we sure ain't. Anyhow, we struck out on our own, started in doing serious acting. You know, Shakespeare.
Shakespeare? Oh.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
I see.
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take up arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing.
That's pretty good.
And then. That's Hamlet.
Oh, that's...
To tell you the truth, Brother, I was going to appear as the melancholy Dane this very evening. But circumstances have compelled us to abandon the production.
Is that so?
Yeah, there was a little trouble during our performance of Othello last night.
You mean the folks didn't like the show?
Well, when they started shooting up at the ceiling, that was the impression that we got.
Well, now they shouldn't have done that.
I couldn't agree with you more completely. Anyway, we're going on to Rocky Falls. Maybe folks there will have a little more...
Oh, who on earth?
Right, now you won't say anything. You won't give us away.
Oh, no, of course not.
Your servant, sir.
Forgive me for intruding. Are you Archibald Plunkett, the actor?
I am he.
Delighted to meet you, Mr. Plunkett.
And what may I do for you, sir?
I happen to be spending the day in Virtue City, and I saw a theatrical poster advertising a performance of Hamlet, one of my favorite plays. Unfortunately, when I tried to buy tickets, I was informed that your company isn't appearing this evening.
That is correct, sir. A sudden change in our schedule. We have so many engagements, we're unable to fill them all.
Oh, I understand, Mr. Plunkett. I understand. The vagaries of show business. See, I happen to be in the theater myself.
Indeed?
My card.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry I won't have the opportunity of witnessing your performance. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Old faker. Why, I bet he's no more in show business than you are, Britt. Probably thought we'd give him a couple of free passes.
Oh, no.
Arch, what's the matter?
Oh, no. It couldn't. I've seen things.
Britt?
Hmm?
Here, Britt, what's it look like to you? The name on this card. What's it say?
Let's see. It says Barnum. P.T. Barnum. Yeah, that's the name, all right. Printing's real clear.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Now, during the holiday season, with more cars than usual on the road and adverse weather conditions, think a minute. If a child should dash across an intersection, if a tire should blow out, could you stop in time to save a life? As always, during a holiday season, you must be more alert than ever in following simple safety rules.
So this, the original air date for this six shooter, More Than Ken, was the 13th of December, 1953. Yeah, I mean, it has a cameo by P.T. Barnum. This one's pretty interesting, folks. Thanks for listening to The Grand Hour with Arthur.
Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
For the next couple of minutes or two, Arch and Maggie just stood there looking at each other. And the way they were looking at each other, I tell you, it was the same kind of an expression a calf gets just before you hit him with the branding iron. Then Arch walked over to the window and raised it up just like he was getting ready to jump out. I thought sure Maggie would stop him. She didn't. All she did was just grab the calling card out of my hand and start rubbing her finger over the printing on it.
Arch, it's real engraven.
Yeah. Why can't I do it, Maggie? Why can't I end it all right here and now?
Oh, now, what are you talking about, Arch? What's got into you folks, anyhow?
P.T. Barnum, Britt. You know who P.T. Barnum is, don't you?
Well, he said he was in show business.
In show business? He is show business. Jenny Lind, General Tom Thumb, half the stars in America owe their careers to him.
Yeah?
Don't you say, Britt, he was going to come to the theater tonight. He was going to watch his act without us even asking him.
Well,
and if he liked us, well, there's no telling what would have happened. He might have hired us himself.
An actor gets a chance like this only once. To appear before P.T. Barnum.
Arch? Arch, maybe it's not too late.
It is too late.
No, listen now. Now, the company is still in town. All we'd have to do is unpack the costume.
The performance has been canceled, Maggie.
Then we'll uncancel it. I'll round up the rest of the cast, change your train tickets. Sure, that's it. And you get over to the Opera House. Make sure they haven't let it out to somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, no. What about an audience?
Oh, yes. I tell you, give some of the kids around town passes. They'll spread the word quick enough. Well, now, just don't stand there, Arch. Get moving.
Oh, all right, Maggie. All right.
Well, Maggie,
Britt, now you go and find Mr. Barnum.
What?
He must be staying in the hotel. The clerk will give you the room number.
Well,
Tell him we rearranged our schedule again. We're playing Hamlet tonight. But for heaven's sakes, don't let him know it's because of him.
Oh.
And tell him he won't need tickets. We're saving him the front box. Well, hurry up, Britt, hurry up. Before I make some other plans.
All right, sure. All right, Maggie. Mr. Barnum?
Yes? Oh, hello there.
Howdy, my name's Britt Ponsett.
I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. What can I do for you?
Well, my friends, the Plunkets, the Plunkettes, they asked me to find you.
Oh?
And they've sort of changed their plans. It seems they're going to stay over in Virtue City tonight and give the show.
Oh, I see.
And they asked me to tell you that they're saving a box for you. If you'd care to use it tonight.
That's very considerate, Mr. Ponsett. I'd be delighted. Are you with the company?
How's that?
Are you one of the performers I'm to have the pleasure of watching tonight?
No. I'm just a friend.
Oh. Well, thank you for delivering the message.
Don't mention it, Mr. Barnum. Don't mention it. Well, I didn't see any more of Arch and Maggie that afternoon. I figured they'd have plenty to keep them busy.
Acting job's about like anything else, I guess. There must be a certain amount of work to it. Anyway, about 7 o'clock, I was up in my room putting on a clean shirt, getting fixed up to go to the theater and watch their play. Hey, man.
Hello, Britt.
Oh, hello, Arch. Maggie. Well, what's the matter?
You're just born under an unlucky star, I guess.
Oh?
My fault. I never should have suggested giving a performance tonight in the first place.
Well, what, couldn't you get the opera house?
No. Oh, it's available.
Well, Mr. Barnum's coming. He told me so himself.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Well, I thought you were so anxious for him to see you.
Not just to see us, but to like us, to appreciate our talent.
Oh, if I'd only stopped to think, Arch.
Oh, don't blame you, my dear. Blame myself. Should have realized the whole idea of our playing tonight was out of the question. Now I've sent those kids all over town.
Well, maybe we can catch an early train. Sneak away before anyone knows.
Now, hold on there. Now, what are you both so down on the mouth about? Now, you got the theater, and you're going to have an audience, Mr. Barnum included.
Well, that's just it, Britt, the audience.
Huh?
It'll be the same folks who came last night.
Oh, I see.
Booze, make fun of us, probably start shooting again.
And what'll Mr. Barnum think?
We're the worst actors he's ever seen, that's what he'll think.
Yeah, but there ought to be some way of maintaining order. What about the sheriff? Here's a man to do it.
Already seen him.
Yeah? Oh, what'd he say?
Said we ain't any better than we was last night. He's advising the boys in the audience not to aim at the ceiling.
Is that so?
One big opportunity, Britt. And it's ruined before we ever got started.
Well, maybe there won't be any trouble. Maybe the audience will like this. What is Hamlet? Maybe they'll like that better than the one you gave them before.
They won't. It isn't one of our most successful presentations.
Uh-huh. You couldn't try something else, could you?
We only do two plays, Britt. Othello and Hamlet.
I see. Well, I guess wouldn't be much point repeating that Othello, huh?
No, wouldn't.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm awful sorry, Arch. I wish there was something I could do.
Do you, Britt? Do you really wish there was something you could do?
Why, sure, Maggie, sure.
Well, as a matter of fact, we did have one possible solution.
So?
It sort of involves you in a way.
What, me?
You're practically saving our lives, Brett, if you do it.
Explain it to him, Arch.
Well, maybe you'd better do the explaining.
Oh, no. It really was your idea, Arch. Go on, Arch.
Well, you see... But now, don't say no until you hear me out.
Well, I'm not saying anything.
You see, we were thinking most of the folks here in town must... Well, they must know you by sight, and they know you're the six shooter. So, it...
Well, I said no. You can be darn sure of that. And I kept saying it over and over and over again for the next hour and a half, but... Well, what they were suggesting was just tall foolishness, that's all. I just had to turn them down, that's all. Just had to do it. And they must have known I wouldn't agree to a thing like that. But no matter how hard I talked, they just talked harder. And being actors, they had strong voices, too, you know. Well, the next thing I knew, somehow they'd managed to drag me along with them to the opera house. Anyhow, after the piano solo by... Thelma Featherhill, the curtain went up and the show got underway. Started out all right, too. Audience seemed to be paying attention. Nobody was creating any ruckus or anything, at least not at first.
Oh, that this too, too solid flesh would melt. That it should come to this. But 2 months dead. Oh, frailty, thy name is woman. Oh, Fion! Oh, fie!
Yes, fie on you, too!
There yet the salt of most unrighteous tears had left the flushing in her galled eyes. She married...
Sounds like old Lady Crandall. She only waited 2 weeks after Jed Crandall kicked the bucket.
No, it cannot come too good. But break my heart. For I must hold my tongue.
Better get a good grip on it, mister.
You see, Britt, you just gotta do it.
I can't do it. Can't do it.
Oh, look at poor Archie out there. Isn't it just enough to break your heart?
How weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world.
Your acting's a little flat too, mister.
Go on, Britt. That's your cue.
What cue? What
Go on. That's it.
Oh, good Horatio, I'm glad to see you well.
Hail to your lordship, Britt.
Huh?
Hail to your lordship.
Oh, yeah. Hail to your lordship.
What make you from Wittenberg, Horatio?
How's that? What?
A truant disposition.
A truant disposition.
Have get to school, kids. Here comes the truant officer.
I will not hear your enemies say so. Nor shall you do mine ear that violence to make it custer of your own report against you.
Oh, he's bringing out the report card.
Sid, you better take it easy.
Huh?
Don't you see who that is, that other actor fella?
What are you talking about?
It's Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett, the six-shooter? You must be crazy.
He's staying at the hotel. I seen him this afternoon.
Well, what's he doing up there on that stage?
He's a friend of them actors.
Oh.
If I was you, I'd keep my big mouth shut from here on in. That ain't no sword he's wearing under that rig. That's a six-gun, plain as day.
It followed hard upon. Thrift Horatio. The funeral baked meats did coldly furnish for the marriage table. Would I had met my dearest foe in heaven, there I had seen myself. Alas!
Oh, woe is me. Now cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince. Sweet,
And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. Rest!
And flocks of angels sing you to your rest.
Oh, Britt, golly, we can't ever thank you enough. Why, if it hadn't been for you, I just don't know what would have ever happened. Oh, golly.
And did you see? He stayed through to the end. Mr. Barnum did. Right through to the end. Britt, you were great.
Arch, I never felt so foolish in my whole life.
Do you think he'll come backstage, Arch? Mr. Barnum?
Somebody help me get out of this thing, will you?
Come in. Why, Mr. Barnum?
Good evening. I just wanted to drop by and tell you how much I enjoyed your performance tonight.
We are most honored, sir. Honored.
Your future in the theater is assured. And you there, Ponsett.
Who, me?
You told me you weren't an actor.
Well, he was just sort of filling in, Mr. Barnum.
Oh, I realize you weren't up in the part, Mr. Ponsett. But such stage presence. Why, the way that audience quieted down when you walked on, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. Never. Now, if you're seriously interested in the theater as a career, I would be very happy...
No. No, thanks very much, Mr. Barnum. I'm not interested. No, that's real kind of you, but, no, fine. Oh, no. Well, sir, I got out of that theater just as fast as my leg could carry me.
Gee, I just don't see how anybody can set out to be an actor. All those people staring at you and that sweat running down the back of your neck. Holy smoke. Worse than any gunfight, I'm sure. Of course, that applause, that's after it was over, that applause did sound kind of good. And Mr. Barnum, he was very nice about saying that I had stage presence, whatever that means. I suppose a man could get used to play acting if he had to. Sure is a scary business, though.
The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Michael Ann Barrett, Tony Barrett, Ted Bliss, Marvin Miller, and Dan O'Herlihy. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents